In the name of the one holy, life-giving, and liberating God. Amen. I'd like to invite you to reflect on an experience of being a member of a group with a common purpose, a common vision, a common goal, and having this experience be so enriching and life-giving, energizing, and rewarding that it just fuels you and gives you life and meaning. Perhaps this membership is as part of a duo, a partnership, a lifelong partnership where you are running a household together and raising a family. Perhaps this membership is a professional one where you have been part of a staff or are part of a staff or a member in a firm or a practice, and this membership as part of your career is life-giving and energizing. Maybe this membership is part of a civic institution or a volunteer organization. Maybe it's here, hopefully it's here at Redeemer, singing as a member of choir or serving on the altar guild or the flower guild, leading a committee, being part of a committee. So just think about what group membership has given you and gives you life. And now let's just take it another step, a deeper step. When this participation and membership gives you such an experience of oneness, of unity, that it's palpable, that you feel like you are one individual, but you are actually part of one body. Each of you, members of one body, living and moving and breathing as if attuned and aligned with the same spirit and energy. I often think about that when I look up into the sky and I see a flock of birds, right? 20, 30, 40 birds all moving separate and yet as one. And a bird and the tail moving up to the front of that body. You know what I mean, right? You've seen that up in the sky. I often feel an experience that in music, I had a parishioner talk about his experience of being one in a trio, and he was playing the violin, and someone else was playing the flute, and someone else was singing, and they were of one. And just the other weekend, I went to my 35th high school reunion and was standing on a turf field that used to be a grass field. And I was brought back to the time of running up and down that field as a member of a team and what it was like to be so in tune with my teammates that I knew that my right wing was gonna be right there when I gave her a pass or I threw her the ball, and she knew that I was gonna be right behind her as her center when she needed backup. That way of being a part of a team when you are literally members of one body, the same motion, moving together towards one common goal. Today's gospel is about the Jesus experience of oneness, Christ consciousness. Let's set the context for a few moments. We are in the seventh Sunday of Easter, right? The season of the resurrection. But this gospel is a flashback to the time when Jesus was at supper with his friends and he knew that he was going to die. And according to the Gospel of John, he continues to pray aloud with all his friends in view and in sight after the meal that they had shared. In other Gospels, we hear about Jesus going off on his own. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus stays at the table after they've shared a meal and he begins to pray. And what do we learn about Jesus through the words that we hear in John's gospel? What does his prayer reveal? That Jesus experiences oneness with the Creator. That in Jesus, there is no separation between the Creator and the Son. That the seen and the unseen, and heaven and earth, are like two sides of the same coin. That separation is an illusion. This is the kind of consciousness that Christ reveals when he's praying. The inner landscape of one who knows and recognizes that he is at one with his Creator, our Father, and this peace and this wholeness, and that separation is an illusion, two sides of one coin, right? To know and to understand Jesus' heart, then, is to know and to understand the Creator's heart. To know and understand Jesus' mind is to know and to understand the Creator's mind. And to have a window and glimpse into Jesus' soul is to have a glimpse into the infinite soul of our Creator, all that is. And to hear Jesus' voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd, inviting you to be refreshed by living water, that is the voice of the Creator reaching out to you and to me. We see this Christ consciousness, this consciousness of how it is to be in the world, what it is to do in the world, by Jesus' life and his stories, right? We can see how Jesus tapped into this oneness by how he treated people, what he said to people, what he did in the world. There was no one that was so outside. There was no one who was so on the margins. There was no one who was so other that Jesus could not relate and did not relate, right? He spoke with the woman at the well. He invited the tax collectors in. He tells the story of the wounded one lying in the middle of the road and the other, the Samaritan, being the one who helped and reached out to that wounded one. No one was outside. No one was so outside because we are all one. That is Jesus' consciousness. That is how he lived his life. And how did Jesus get there? We hear in John that he got there because he always was there. That Jesus' light and spirit were at the beginning, before creation. That the glory of God is manifest in the glory of Christ because Christ was there. He never left. And he always is. And now this is, if you're going to take away anything from what I say today, this is what I'd like to lift up. The point of the gospel today and the point of our Christian lives is that what Jesus had and who Jesus is has been given to us. What Jesus had and who Jesus is has been given to us through the gift of the Spirit of truth and wisdom. The Spirit of truth that is made known, Jesus' Spirit, through scriptures, through stories, through relationship, through creation. The gift of the Spirit of breath. The Holy Spirit isn't just some theological idea. It is given to us through the practice of breath. Our brothers and sisters in the Eastern tradition understand that to practice meditation and breathing can lead one into an inner experience of such peace and oneness that one can carry that out into the world. Who we are is not separate. Who we are is one with one another and in God through Christ. And it is the opportunity of our human experience to live and breathe and be out in the world, coming out of this knowledge and consciousness of being one with the heart of God. Evelyn Underhill talks about, she's a mystic, and she talks about how we are amphibious creatures. We are to straddle the seen and the unseen, heaven and earth, like amphibious creatures. Imagine and experience how that kind of being and knowledge operating in the world, operating out of our wholeness, out of our sense of oneness, and not out of our sense of disconnection. How does that impact the way that you are in your family? How does that way of being and operating in the world impact how you are in your workplace? How might we create collectively a society where the systems and the institutions are out of the sense of oneness and not out of separation? Heaven on earth, the new Jerusalem. Nothing can separate us from the love of God and Christ, not even death. How might you be in the world if we took that to heart? Not even death separates us from all that is. Abundant life. We hear about eternal life. This is the life that is more, always more. Just the other day, I had the gift and the grace and also the heartache to take a tour of the National Great Blacks and Wax Museum in the Oliver community of East Baltimore. And I share this experience as part of my reflection and sermon today because it gave me a window into the suffering of my brothers and sisters of African descent who were enslaved. It gave me a window into that suffering in a way that reading about it and talking about it hadn't quite done. It's one thing to read about the suffering of your brothers and sisters and their ancestors. It's another thing to be in a space where there are three-dimensional figures who look human and alive there, even though they're made of wax, and to walk down into the slave ship and to be in front of someone who's being lynched. I mean, these are things that we read about, but to be in this space where you are in the same air is something that I am still processing. And I offer this to you because we are about being a people and a body who are living out of oneness and wholeness. And to be able to be one with our brother and sister is also to deeply know his or her story and to be understood as well. And so I commend this experience because as we continue to try to follow the lead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are called to enter into the whole stories of as many people as we can to understand so that we can live our lives and be a part of building God's kingdom and the beloved community here in our place and in our time. We have plenty of examples of division, separation, the illusion of separation and sin. We are about oneness and we are called to live out of that consciousness and way of being. I'm going to end with a hymn, one of my favorite hymns that came to my mind and heart as I was preparing this sermon and this reflection, and I think it will be familiar to most of you. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk side by side. We will walk with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity, and save each one's pride. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love, Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Creator from whom all things come. All praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. All praise to the Spirit who makes us one. They will know we are Christians by our love, Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen.